Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy, a platform for writers, authors, and poets alike who love everything about romance, just like I do. Today's special guest is Mahogany Silverrain. She's a friend of mine from Instagram, a fellow paranormal author, podcaster, and woman extraordinaire. Please join me as I get into an interview with Mahogany and find out more about her world. Enjoy. Welcome to All About Romance. I'm your host, Tricia Harley McCarthy, and boy, that intro sounded like I was half asleep doing that one. Wow. apologize. But, you know, I've been on hiatus for the last 2 weeks, just haven't been feeling myself, so I don't want to have a show unless I feel good. And today I'm feeling better than normal, and I'll be even better because I get to chat with my buddy Mahogany Silverrain, which I just love that name. It fits her to a T, and she's just a lovely woman. And thank you for joining me on the show today.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And for the comfort of your bed, I'm in my bed too, so that's where I do my show. That's my sanctuary.
Hey, it works.
That's where I
exactly.
I know. Well, that's where I write. That's where I do everything. Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
mm-hmm.
Without getting into specifics.
I have laptop wheel travel. Yes.
I know exactly. So, anyway, well, thank you for joining us. And it sounds like you perked up a little bit. And it's always nice to have fellow, you know, connection with humans. You know, instead of just
yes.
social media or, you know. It's hard when you don't have that human connection. I'm okay with it because I'm kind of an introvert by nature, even though people think I'm really outgoing. I can be. It just depends.
Right.
I'm really quiet lately. And I just think that's because of the atmosphere. You know, you kind of get bombarded with all of the goings-ons, the numbers, the fear,
right.
just so a mixture of everything, you know. Don't be fearful, but be fearful, you know. Be diligent, you know, wash
right.
your hands. I think I've
be cautious.
I think
yeah,
I just live. Yeah, I live under my faucet these days, honestly, washing my hands and, you know, it's.
God, yeah, I go through bottles of lotion because I'm always washing my hands. So I need to
yeah,
soften them up.
Exactly.
They're like kind of rough because it's dry.
Yeah, exactly. yeah. Yeah. So how is this all affecting you? Because, you know, we're creative by nature, and when, you know, we don't have that aspect of ourselves in place, I think it kind of inhibits our writing and what we want to do, our motivation, our, you know, creativity, obviously. So how does it affect you?
Well, actually, I kind of been doing more writing and being more creative because I'm kind of an introvert, too, unless I am outgoing, but when I'm at home, it's like I'm in my space and I get in my headspace and it doesn't bother me. It's like I try not to watch the news every second of the day to get updates because
mm-hmm.
I'm just, you know, it just kind of invades my world and I'm okay in my space, you know, where I can just
right.
sit and do what I want to do and, you know, read or write or listen to music even just to, you know, get through the day. And it really doesn't bother me as much. And my kids are here, so, you know, and I have my animals, and I have 2 cats and 1 dog, so they keep me kind of busy too. And
yeah,
when I'm laying down,
exactly.
the cats come and they get on my lap, and it's like, you know, or they sit next to me. So, you know, I get
yeah.
that little warm snuggle right there. So
yeah,
that's how I've been dealing.
So I'm glad you're I'm glad you're writing because I really haven't. I've had a couple spurts of creativity and I've written and then I stop and then I'm, you know, kind of stuck and I just get tired. And if I'm tired, I don't want to do anything, but I've been forcing myself
yeah.
to exercise and, you know, do the basics, you know, try to get to have a normal routine because I think that helps a lot, at least from a life coaching perspective, to have routine. It's important. To help you feel, I mean, because you can control your routine. You can't control the rest of the world. You can control what you do
exactly.
and what you think. So I think that's helpful. But, you know, I ended up vacuuming the other day. Oh, my God. So it's, you know, I know. It's just, I just get these spurts of energy, and I just do the basics, and then I'm done. And
right.
then my energy for done. Writing has just, it's just been waning.
It's been
and, I, you know, I really... Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And but I've been, you know, like I mentioned before off air, I've been recovering from, you know, upper respiratory, and it's kind of hung on a little bit, and I'm still
mm-hmm.
regaining my energy. So that plays a big role. And I'm just
oh,
not
yeah.
a person
that will drain you
over things. Yeah, it takes me a month or two really honestly to get back on my feet when I have, you know, health issues. But yeah. So, and unlike you,
yeah,
I don't even watch the news. I can't do that because it affects me, and so I just
yeah.
I stop watching news altogether. So I just watch my old classic shows and my haunting paranormal shows. I found a great one called
I know it
the
keeps
Woods
your
are
mind
haunted.
Off of what is happening. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm still cautious and I'm aware, but I don't want to see that. You know, I don't want to. Have that, you know, inundating my mind all day because I, you know, sit here and like be scared to leave the house or because, you know, I have to stick
right.
to, like you said, a routine, and it's just, it really
yeah.
helps to kind of, you know, like, okay, I'm not going to do that.
Right. And I think
so,
that's smart. And so if we can impart that to anyone who's listening, you know, develop
mm-hmm.
a routine. It's helpful. And then plus I've been busy on Instagram because I about a month ago, we formed a street team through Soul Sisters Romance. And so we share promos every Friday. So that takes my time up and, you know, doing a few other things here and there.
Oh, that's
and,
cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you want to join us, you're welcome to, if you'd like to do the sharing part. And we'll put you on the schedule too. So I know...
Okay.
You just had a release come out not too long ago, about a week or
yes.
so ago.
Mm-hmm. It was, it was the 25th of March. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Passion's Pride, Alejandro.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Very,
it's
very exotic sounding.
It's a shifter. Yes, it's a shifter romance. He is a jaguar. And he's his people are Mayan, and they've been kind of living in the Sonoran Desert. And I'd kind of based it on my research about Sonoran Desert and the problem it's having, you know, in the ecosystem. They are kind of endangered, the jaguars, because people hunt them. They want their fur or stuff like that because their fur is beautiful. And so I got the idea of setting the story in the Sonoran Desert to kind of focus on that as well. And I even put a little information in the back of the book about it and, you know, how you can help and what places you can get to look for information. And it
right.
is, you know, so it's kind of a steamy romance, but it's a sweet romance as well because he's, you know, the king, the son of the king. And he wants to be, you know, he wants to just be creative, play his guitar, hang out with humans. And his dad is pushing him to, you know, become the leader of the tribe. And when he meets Regina, actually he has a premonition about her being in trouble before it happens. And it's like 30 miles away. So he jets off and going after her, knowing that she, you know, kind of looks familiar in his vision. And he gets these premonitions or whatever you call it, visions of the future. Sometimes they tell him exactly what's going on. Sometimes it's just a glimpse. But he goes, he helps her out, but she turns up, you know, to be there. But his connection with her is so strong that, you know, he was drawn to her because there's really no reason he should have been having a vision about her because he really doesn't know her. And she's never been to his tribe. She's just human. She has a gift that she can read the minds of animals. She can hear them. Kind of like Dr. Doolittle, but the spin on it is that she'd only been able to hear domestic animals. And it wasn't until she came into Mexico that she began to hear the wild animals. So I thought it was, you know,
now,
a little twist on that. Go ahead.
I like that. And is she a human then? And he could shift into a human form, correct? Or does he live as a
yes,
human?
Yes, he can shift. Yes, he can shift to human form. And his village that's in the desert is there. mostly hang out in human form in that protected area, but they shift and they hunt in their jaguar form.
Cool.
That's interesting because, like, it does not have any. Yeah, they don't have any cars or motor transportation because everything is so close by, and it's like it's hidden to where it's kind of like a magical thing. You see this huge mountain, you see where the water goes, and it goes down into a waterfall. But it's so misty, people can't see beyond that waterfall. But if you keep going below the waterfall, you come into his. It's like a rich, you know, because the water is there. There's actually plants of all kinds that are thriving. And that's where his village is.
But there is a rival. I like.
Yeah. There's a rival. Trister tribe. Yes. And they are the Anacondas. And it was really weird and interesting as I was doing research is because there are yellow anacondas, but they're closer to the water in Mexico. They're closer to San Carlos. That's kind of where, you know, in that area. And they're not, while they're not endangered, they are natural predators of jaguars. So I thought, why not make them the rivals in the book?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
no,
I didn't know that.
I
looked up jaguars.
I'm not a big snake person, honestly.
Yeah, I'm not either.
But it's kind of like the train wreck. You know, you want to watch, but you don't, you know.
But you don't. Well, there's a few twists and turns in there, but because I don't really like snakes either. So the book was totally different when I was writing it, and it was like a week before the story changed, and I had to go back and redo it because it just changed.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, wow, that sounds so much better, you know. So I was late on my deadline getting it into Amazon, but it was more in-depth, and it was just a twist that I didn't even see coming. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, you know. Because, you know, sometimes you hear the characters, and you're like, you know, they're like, no. And this character, Culebra, just came up, and I saw him. He's got one snake eye. I mean, he's handsome, but he's got that one snake eye. It looks kind of freaky, but at the same time, it doesn't really take away from what, you know. But, yeah, me and snakes, no. But he was such an interesting character, and he would not shut up. So that's how he got in there. So
okay.
He's one of those not really necessary character, but he's lovable. You kind of side with him. You kind of understand where he's coming from and how he's, you know, his tribe doesn't like him because his father is actually human and his mother is from this tribe. So he's a half-breed. He's not a full. Even though he can shift, it's just he gets it from his mother's side. But he is still human, very much so. But he, because of his eye, he really couldn't pass for human. So he kind of stayed toward his mother's village growing up. But both sides didn't want anything to do with him. So he couldn't hang out with humans.
So
and
he just, in human form, he only has the one eye, like a cyclops?
No, he has two eyes, but one of them is a snake eye. When he was born with an eye that the iris is, it's in a slit.
Okay.
It's not like a round,
okay.
You know, people that we have. So, yeah. So, people are very uncomfortable looking at him. So.
I wonder why.
I know. You see?
I'm getting the shivers just thinking about looking at him.
The thing. Right. Yeah. And so I tried to find a picture and because I saw him in my head, he's got this long hair and he's, you know, handsome. He looks more Native American than Hispanic, but his character is something else. He knows what he wants. He does what he wants to do, but he's always been an outsider, you know. They didn't have any respect for him until he started working for the cartel. So he doesn't, he works hard at trying to fit in because he's been an outcast.
Interesting.
So he was just an interesting character.
Do you write novellas? Is that what you write? Are the novellas?
Yes, it is a novella.
Okay. All right.
And
that's
it's part of my Passion's Pride series, which each book is about a cat, different cats of the world. And the first one was in West Africa. She's a lioness, Leonessa. And so the second one is Alejandra, which is the jaguar, and the next one coming up is a lynx. So,
nice.
That world.
Oh, lynx are beautiful. We got a phone call.
Yeah, they have those big
callers.
Feet. Yeah.
Would you like? Would you like to take a call?
Sure.
Hello, you're on the air with Mahogany and Trish. Who's this? I think I know who it is. I'm pretty sure.
Take a wild guess.
Hello.
By the accent. Hello.
Susan?
Yes. Yeah.
Hello. How are you?
Fun. How are you
I didn't realize. I didn't notice the accent.
Oh, yeah. I've been trying to practice on another type of accent, but it's not working.
Yeah.
And yes, my question for you is, what is the most of your characters is your favorite character you like that you're writing about? What is it that you
of this,
like?
Of this particular book?
Yes.
My favorite character of this book is probably, it's going to sound weird, but it's Culebra, just because of he was an unexpected character. And while I love Alejandro and the things that he goes through and his passion in finding himself and finding that he can be a leader, Culebra was most surprising. And when you read it, you'll find out why. Because I'm not going to give any spoilers, but he's just, he's a standout character. Kind of steals some scenes.
Okay.
So you're drawn to the underdog then?
Yeah, I guess you would say. Yeah.
Under Snake?
I kind of root for the underdog. Under Snake?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, underbelly, because he could actually wrap his body around you and cross you. I mean, come on, it's an anaconda, but it's still kind
yeah.
of.
Or squeeze
you know,
to
there,
death.
There is a romance scene. You're right. There is a romance scene. He could squeeze you even in human form. So.
Ooh.
That strength and power that the snake has, he still has it in human form. So, and that'll be one tough hug. But he is a muff. He does have a girlfriend. She loves him. She has several snakes. She has a snake tattoo, and it's Yolanda. And I like her too. She's funny. She's very hot headed. She jumps the gun a lot. Tough.
She's spicy, kind of like our Susan is. She's
feisty.
Feisty.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Without that, she doesn't have that.
She's the complete opposite of Regina.
Gotta have that part.
There's always one,
you
right?
Have that. Yeah, you gotta yes. have that firecracker somewhere in the story, you know? I always write a
yeah.
character like that. Usually it's a sidekick, right? I think so, anyway.
Right.
That adds
yep.
that adds the pepper to the mixture, you know, the,
yes.
the heat, the fun, and I'm glad you're adding the humor to it too, because I've read a few shifter books. I read one about a bear, which was interesting.
Oh wow!
I like the stories of shifters, the actual spiritual experiences of shifters or people have experienced them. I just haven't read
mm-hmm.
a lot of them, so this is intriguing me to read your story. I have yet to read one of your books. I definitely will read this one. And
oh, yeah. I think you'll like it.
Looking forward to it. I think I will, too. It sounds good once I get over my snake thing. But but like
yeah,
you were
it's
saying.
There's a lot in it, but it's, yeah. It's short. It's a short read, but there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like I put a lot into my stories, whether they're short or long, whether they're novels or novellas.
Right.
There's always going to be
right.
a lot going on because that's what I hear in my head. So that's kind of, you know, I'm serious. I'm listening to cumbia music the whole time I'm writing this and listening to Selena. She was real big in Texas where I was
yeah.
in San Antonio when
right.
I used to live there. So I was listening to her music and cumbia, which is a big favorite, you know, besides salsa in Mexico, it's cumbia. So it's a, you know, different tempo, and I liked the music, and it was so easy just writing. It just kind of flowed when I was writing it. So I was also kind of dancing in my chair, but you get what you can't help but do.
So, you know, I guess it's kind of acceptable for writers to have voices in their heads. They don't think you're too nutsy, cuckoo, you know, because
nope.
You know, that's our characters talking to us versus, you know, people who just hear voices. You know, they have
right.
You know, obviously
they hear strange
some challenges going on there.
Like,
yeah.
I know, disclaimer, all writers hear voices. We have dreams. we get bothered and
yeah,
tested
exactly.
by these characters. They're like, yes, right here, right me.
Have you ever been to sleep and they're talking, they're chattering the whole night long and you hear you get all this great dialogue and you wake up and you
dialogue,
forget
right?
it?
Yes. Mm-hmm. It's like, now how come you can't talk when I'm awake? It's like, what's the deal here?
Exactly.
Like, I'm asleep. My subconscious takes over. It seems like a really terrific dream and I wake up, can't remember none of it. But yeah.
I know, I know, and I know I've had some great lines that I can't remember the next day, and I'm too tired to wake up to write it down because I'm enjoying it,
mm-hmm.
you know, in some manner or fashion, and then it goes away. So, yeah, I'd like to be in that dream state when I'm writing.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask you, the series that you've written, are they connected? Do the characters connect in other books as well? Do you bring them forward?
No, they're standalone, but they are all about shifters, cat shifters.
Okay.
So it's like they're all cat shifters, and the only thing they all have in common is this, the whole pride. That's why the passion's pride. That's what it is, the pride of cat shifters. So each one is different, but I came up with the idea of exploring different parts of the world. And coming up with the language, and Leonessa was really fun to write because I've never been to West Africa. I could only imagine. But one lady from
mm-hmm.
there read the book, and she emailed me, and she was just going on, and she's like, it's like you lived here. How do you know so much? I was like, research. I've never been to West Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the pictures,
mm-hmm.
she was, you describe my country. Like, you know, I said, I use my imagination,
aww.
And that is what I saw, you know. And I just felt so excited
right.
because she had to she emailed me to tell me how much it, because she's from South Africa, and I ended up having a lot of West Africans send me messages on Facebook and started following me when I released the book because it was just really
cool.
It was cool. So I have that one in my audiobook as well. So you can listen to it. And the guy who does the narration, he used to work with doctors in West Africa. So he picked up that accent and he ran with it.
Oh,
and I was like, oh yes.
Oh, I love
definitely.
It.
Definitely.
Wow.
And he's Welsh,
you
but he
audio?
Does so many different accents. Yes, I have an audio for Passion's Pride, Leonessa, the first book in the series. And that one, she's a lioness. And, yeah, it's like she has blue eyes. But because she was blessed by the gods to have those blue eyes, and when she's in cat form, she's the only lioness with blue eyes. Everyone else has these golden eyes, but she has blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because she's a healer.
Ooh.
And
that's cool.
Her, she's like the main focus of the story. However, Alejandro differs because this was my first time writing as a male as the lead. Normally I write heroines, but Alejandro was the first time I had a male. So I hope I did
mm-hmm.
it justice.
Well, I'm sure you did. And now you mentioned the link. Is the next in the series. Is that, like, going to be from, like, the Nepal or, you know, the those mountains?
Yeah, because they live in a cold.
It.
Let me see. I have it written down. Because I have all these different ones set up, and the next one to
the Himalayas
go.
Is what I was trying to think of. The Himalayas.
Yes.
It was like, what came to mind when you mentioned that. That's cool.
Yeah.
I love that. And I wonder
I
if
think
you
China.
Have...
I believe it's China.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't they border the Himalayas
kind.
Though, China?
Mm-hmm. They do.
Mm-hmm. Cool. That's amazing.
It's gonna be like the mountains and the reason that they have those big paws is so they can walk in the snow.
Yeah.
And their, you know, and their
yeah.
coat is very valuable. They're, it keeps them warm.
They're beautiful. Yeah. They're
yes.
beautiful animals. Hey, why don't you, as a tip, because I'm into big with tips, for other authors who have explored doing an audiobook, tell me your journey into being an audio author.
Oh, well, actually, I saw this ad for ACX in doing audiobooks and said if you wanted to turn your books into, because I was thinking, oh my gosh, it's going to be a lot of money. I have to hire someone.
Right.
But they made the whole process
right.
so easy. And it was like they have all these excerpts of people who are, you know, you can listen to them or you can set up an audition, part of the section you want them to read for you. And they'll send it to you if you like them. If you, you know, then you set up what how you want the pricing and ACX works with you on that. And so they pay your, and if you can also pay them with partial royalties, you can split your royalties with them from the sales, the audio book. And lots of them do that. They will split their, you know, will split your royalties and do it for you. And like I said, Leonessa was a short book. So it was easy to, you know, it's like a 2 hour. It's very short, but it's like 2 hours, and he really draws you into the story.
Okay.
So it's not a long one. I think it's like $4.37, something like that. Weird price on Amazon. I signed an exclusive contract with Amazon and audiobooks.com. So that's how they have been able to market and spread it through there.
Now I understand ACX, you could split the royalties with the voice person as well. Is that how it works? So they get paid?
Yes. So they get paid, yes. So whenever I get my royalties, he gets it too.
And the royalties are good?
Yeah. And I thought I would like regret signing exclusively with Amazon and audiobooks, but I get more if it's a new, audiobook signs up a new client and they give them my book free to read, I get more because that they allow them to have a new customer. Or is it Audible?
Well,
Audible.com. That's it. Yeah. So
okay.
Amazon and
now,
Audible.com.
Now, if you have your book published through other sites, does that impact the audio version of the book?
Oh, no. Not
through
at all.
Amazon? Okay.
No.
Oh.
No, they just want exclusive rights to the audio. But you don't have to do that, but you have a choice to do that. And they'll give you a choice in the beginning when you're first starting to get the idea of having an audiobook. But the whole process is pretty easy. And then you can write back and forth through their website. And you connect with the narrator actors who do the voiceovers for the books. And, I just listened to a couple of them. And when I heard his voice, I was like, he's the one. But he was doing an English accent because he's Welsh. But when I spoke to him, I asked him if he could do West African. And he was like, yeah, he said he spent time there. So, and he was right. He did a fantastic job. Because, they'll read it and they'll send it to you for your approval. They don't just put it out. You have to approve everything.
Right.
And once you approve it, and same thing like Amazon, once it's approved, you like it and you're satisfied with it, then they'll publish it. And they'll send you,
and you don't have
links
to
have people.
The,
yeah. Nope.
They do all the work for you.
It's just because they do all the work for you.
That intrigues me because I did sign up for ACX. I just kind of didn't follow through as much. So.
It's definitely. And I, as a matter of fact, I just got a royalty check this month from them. And it was pretty good. So I was surprised because I wasn't expecting it. But apparently, because I haven't. I haven't promoted it as much, and I still got a check. So I was like, well, I guess it's still selling. So.
Hey, audiobooks are really big. I've heard some grumblings from authors whether they're good, the royalties, and blah, blah, blah. So I've heard different arguments for and against. So that's good to know, at least from your perspective. And I think iShine might be a good candidate for that type of thing. My paranormal book.
Yes. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh.
That would be
all
good.
All right. So you give me a lot of ideas, and that's great. Thank you. So,
you're welcome.
What else is going on with you in your world that you want to share with everybody?
Well, I am working on a historical, my second historical, but it's probably going to be a little bit longer than a novella, I'm thinking, because that's just kind of the way it's going. And it's called Nefari, India's African Queen. And she also has an ability. She is the daughter of a king of her tribe, but there is a Maharaja who is passing through. He's been trained at Oxford. He goes to school in England, so he also learns the language, but she can understand him, even though she's never heard the language before when he speaks. And the reason they meet is because he's going through with he's riding on this elephant. He doesn't know the elephant is pregnant and she's tired and she won't go. She just like stopped and she wouldn't go any further. And so the men with him are trying to beat her to get him to go. And Nefari steps in, is like, don't you understand? She's pregnant. She's tired. She needs to eat and she needs to rest. She's carrying a calf. And he was kind of intrigued with her. He's like, how do you know this? And that's how they meet. It's really kind of interesting and funny. But because also she, and the women in her tribe, only the married women cover up, which is a true thing that I got from the Ivory Coast. Only the married women cover up their breasts, but unmarried women wear beads and they only cover at the waist, which is weird in our, you know, in our society we look down on, but their society that is looked up on is, you know, she is not, she doesn't have a husband, because once she does, then she covers up and she's only he can see her. But in the meantime, yeah, it's like, that's weird. They walk around with, you know, so. But he tells her to cover up because his servants are looking at her and he likes her. So he gets down and he sits on a picnic and they eat. He gets to know her and he wants to marry her and bring her back to his country. And that's where the real story begins, was when she gets there, because she's this dark-skinned, beautiful woman, her hair in braids. She doesn't speak the language. And you know, there's a caste system in India. The lighter ones don't like the darker ones. And then here comes their king bringing back this dark woman to be their queen. They're like, wait a minute. And then his brother is jealous because he wants to be the Maharaja. So there's a whole plot to overthrow him. And she ends up being a part of that to help him where he needs to be. So it's really interesting. It's going to be, there's going to be action. They are also shifters. They're tigers. So they're Bengal tigers of India. So, yes.
Yeah.
So there you have the paranormal, and it's a historical.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And is this the 19th century you're writing about?
Yes.
Very cool. It reminds me of a book by MMK, The Far Pavilions.
Yes, The Far Pavilions. That's what inspired me, yes.
That is, you know, I read that book years ago, and I loved it. I loved the love story there, the Englishman who was brought up, in the caste system, and his duty between the British and who he grew up with. It was such a great love story. Oh, that's amazing. I love that connection.
Yeah.
That's such a good book. Also, it's like 1,000 pages long, too.
It was.
Oh, there was a movie?
I mean, it is. There's a movie. If I think correctly, it was done in the 80s. And I ran across it on cable somewhere under the free movies. But you could probably look it up. Pavilions. Amy Irving played in it, I think. And I don't know if you remember.
Oh,
I mean,
you know what?
I'm showing my age now.
You're not. You know, no. We're in the same, bracket. So, no, I think I know what you're talking about now. That rings a bell because I can see her those blue eyes of hers, I remember that.
Uh-huh. Oh. And it's like,
wow. That's cool. So what inspires you? What inspires you? Is it books you read? Is it movies? Is it songs? What is it?
I pretty much can get inspired just by about anything. It could be a song I'm listening to. It could be a TV show I'm watching, or I'll get an idea. But it's it kind of just depends on the moment, I guess. People even can inspire me by something that they do, and I think, oh, wow, that would make a great character. And it just, I love India, and I love Africa. And I have several clothes and outfits from there because I just love wearing saris, and I was probably the first black woman here to do it, And people are like, where did you get that from? Because I was real big on eBay. Oh, yeah. I bought a whole bunch of
anything.
If you look at some of my pictures, I'm actually wearing them. People are like, oh, you know, my daughter tells me, oh, Mom, that's culture appropriation. I'm like, no, it's not, because I've had a lot of Indian people come to me and ask me if I was from India. And I'm like, no. And they really, I got a lot of compliments. And I said, so if they thought I was, you know, demeaning or trying to take their culture, they would have said so. But, you know, it's like millennials are offended. I'm sorry, but they are offended at every little thing. You know, I'm like, just don't sit down, please. Just sit down. It's all right. It's okay. I'm trust me, I'm not stepping on nobody's toes. You know, I even asked him, like, she helped me to wrap it and taught me how to wrap the skirt and wrap it around me and pinch it right here. And you know, you tuck it and, you know, so because I didn't know how to do it. That's a lot of material. If you don't know what you're doing, you're just going to you're going to get lost in it.
You look like a mummy, right?
Yes. By the time you're through. But no, there's a way you wrap it. Now, she taught me how to do the folds and everything. I mean, it's so intricate the way that they do it. And it's just beautiful. So, and then I don't get upset. If I see anyone wearing a dashiki, I'm not going to beat them over the head. Hey, that's my culture. No. Why? If you look good in it, more power to you. That uplifts my culture when you do that.
I think I think it honors.
People are funny.
You know.
That's what I'm saying. You're not trying to put anything down. I wear it because I love it. And I love the food, you know. So, and I learned some African recipes. I went to an African church when I lived in Houston, Texas. And I met so many beautiful Nigerian women, and they were just telling me their outfits and, boy, their food. Oh, my God. I had never had chicken and peanut butter together, but it's good.
You never had satay?
Nope. That was my first time.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have to try chicken saute. It's a peanut
it's
dipping
really
sauce.
Good.
Yeah, it's excellent. Yeah, we do it all the time. So I guess we're ahead of the curve a little bit there, but more the Asian influence. But that is, isn't that kind of Asian though? In terms of the like, geographic wise.
Yeah,
I don't
it
know.
Is.
Nice. Yeah, and you know I love the colors of Africa. I love the fact that the people, we think they're poor people, but they don't look poor in their pictures. They look like they're happy. They don't have all the trappings that the West has. And they embrace life. They embrace Mother Nature. They embrace the animal kingdom. They are so in tune with their environment. I feel such a connection there because that's what draws me. And
You should see their faces when they get made up. They are some of the most, Instagram. I follow a few. They're just makeup goddesses. I mean, just seriously, made up beautiful. Their faces I mean, literally just gorgeous. And these colors, then like, you know, it looks good on our skin, you know, and they just, I would think, okay, I never want to wear fuchsia or bright yellow, but oh my goodness, it looks great when they wear it. And the gele, the wraps around their head, you know, it's like beautiful.
That's
the
conditioning
you know,
we have to be more
right.
conservative, you know, and modest and, you know. And,
yes.
But, no, I love those colors,
and they believe in embracing
too,
who they are.
Yeah,
you know.
Exactly. And they embrace the femininity. And I think the feminine is actually the more powerful in their culture, isn't it? Because they're more revered as women versus being treated less than in Western cultures. Women are still catching
And that
up.
One, it kind of depends. In North Africa, probably not so much. That system there is closer, you know, to Egypt, where
more,
you know, women are second, so they're not treated as quite as the same, and it's always, and that's where some women are circumcised, you know, at a young age, like 10 years old, where their grandmother and their mother will hold it down. And I'm sorry, I probably shouldn't mention that on the show, but I mean that's just where a lot of them were.
No, that's
what they believe.
That's
you know?
A reality, and it's mutilation, and it's horrifying that you know that.
Yeah.
They don't have a choice.
They create some real problems
you know?
For women. I mean, as they grow older.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's scar tissue.
And,
there's, you know, sometimes they can't have children afterwards. And, or if they do, everything gets messed up. So, yeah.
Yeah. No,
that's a lot.
That is you know, I'm all for empowering women around the world, not just in the U.S. or anywhere else, you know.
Right.
We've supported those companies that, you know, from, you know, either Africa or other countries that women are earning a keep by their souvenirs or their trinkets or jewelry, whatever they sell, you know.
Their accessories, yeah.
We've got those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes, I love those. Mm-hmm. I support those companies, and I support those shops that do that. And it's amazing that the difference that you can make in someone's life who lives across, you know, the universe from you. And
exactly.
Yeah, no, I'm all about that. I think that's awesome. And, you know, and issues like female mutilation are, you know, important to be, you know, recognized and spoken about. You know,
yeah.
The show is about a lot of things. It's not just about romance, you know. It's about, you know, all kinds of topics, not just the things that we think are romantic, because not everything's romantic in life, and not everything we write about is, you know, romantic. It's part of real life, and that aspect of life needs to be, have a light shined on it so that people are more aware of what actually goes on.
Exactly.
And then you need to... And living in the U.S., you have to be a little more appreciative of that we don't have a society that,
exactly.
Know.
That's what I keep telling my children, my daughters especially, that you got to be grateful and glad we live in a country where we can go to school. We can have the education to make ourselves better. We can run businesses. We can own companies. We can own property. You know, there are some places where women still cannot do that. So it is great to
and
be a woman here, you know.
Yeah. But I guess you can't take a woman's right away for her beliefs. You know, if she was taught that way and she's okay with it, I guess you really can't say too much about it to them in terms of, you know, what we feel is right or wrong, and they feel differently.
Right,
you know, that's part of the differences.
That's what they've been raised
in cultures.
Yeah, to believe. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Even though we think that's skewed, but, you know, but the way they probably look at us in the West, they think we're probably messed up too, so...
They wouldn't be wrong.
Yeah, I know. It's lifting that veil, if you will. A pun. Yeah. It's lifting that veil, you know.
We're kind of a little low on the curb. We're not as free with our sexuality at all. We're, you know, even, you know, we have to think romance, but for some reason, people split it down the middle, and it's like we're still very conservative about that here in the United States. So it's
I think too, a lot of people are hypocritical about it too, and they'll be in private, they'll look at pornography, but they come out and preach against it, you know, in the or whatever, and
mm-hmm.
you know, 2 years later they're arrested for God knows what, you know. So yeah, there's
exactly.
We've got our closet society, if you will. It's interesting. So tell me something that you would tell a new author coming onto the scene of self-publishing or, you know, making their way into social media. What is some advice you would give to new authors coming into their own these days?
I would definitely tell them not to give up. Keep pushing, keep writing. Keep writing through all of it. Doesn't matter. People are going to say what they're going to say. Don't be afraid to put yourself out there. And, you know, believe in yourself. And don't worry about other people. And, you know, if you're in it just to make money, well, okay, maybe you adjust what you're doing it for, because sometimes it doesn't happen right away. So if you enjoy what you do, it's not a job. And I look at it as, you know, and find people who are of like mind and spend time with them, because other authors have helped me tremendously. And just being encouraged and being able to talk to, you know, hey, you have this, you know, we have the different ideas or whatever, and we may have similar experiences. So it is just, you know, don't give up, keep going, keep writing, and don't be afraid, because that was my biggest hurdle, was just being afraid to put myself out there. And once I got past it, and I realized, you know, realize your work is not for everybody. Not everybody's going to like it. You know, what may seem weird to one person may be something another person loves. You know, you say, I don't like snakes, you don't like snakes,
exactly.
But somebody likes snakes, you know. So, you know, I can't put that down. Somebody does. And kind of everybody's been watching The Tiger King, so we know.
Oh, my goodness. You know, if I hear that show one more time, I'm not even looking at that show. It's crazy.
Oh,
Carol Baskin. I know too much about her.
I know, right? I know. My kids go around saying all the little different things from the show all the time. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm
yeah.
I'm binge watching this show on Netflix with Sacha Baron Cohen called Spy, and it's about Mossad. And, he's an Arab. He's an Arab Jew, which is interesting, and he goes undercover to go to Syria to gather intel. And it's really a good show. I'm finding it very interesting, and it's based on true events, and so. Yeah, he's one of the producers, so that's a good show to watch. I always like kind of the spy thrillers or the criminal ones or the, I love British stuff mostly because British stuff is really well written, I think. And I'm a sucker for British accent anyway, so yeah.
Oh, yes.
anytime Colin Firth opens his mouth, I'm like, oh, I'm butter.
Well, you should listen to Leonessa because his voice is just Sonya B. Kisnet.
Oh, yeah.
I sent her a free link, and she was like, "Girl, where you find him? He is so engaging."
That is awesome. If you could connect the character to the voice, because I've been given, I was told, I read the book, so I listened to the audio, and it totally killed it for me. It totally killed it because the voice did not sound anything remotely near a god. He sounded like a guy who was a billionaire financier, and it's like there was a disconnect with the voice,
Yes.
I think it's critical that you match the voice to the character because
especially
you as the writer. Otherwise.
Right. And if it makes your characters come alive. And like I said, I sent him the book. He sent me his first audio, the first chapter. And I was hooked from the first chapter because he just blew me away. He was just, awesome. And he was like the third person I listened to. So I kind of really lucked out with him, and
you kind of know automatically, I think
it's
you use your instinct. We have a question from our chat room.
If
that's okay. I'm sorry.
This one.
Taryn Sloan is on the chat, and she'd like to know: do you have a team of editors, baiters, and arcs, and how do you find them?
Oh, actually, I don't. But I would love to find myself. I used what is that? Booksprout.
Fiverr. Booksprout.
I use Booksprout.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I wish I had
for
a team.
The art.
Yes.
Well, I'm so fortunate to have a team of people, and they always are volunteering. If I submit people to them, so. Taryn, if you ever need someone, I definitely, have beta readers that love to read, and same for you. And I'll give a tip right now. If you're looking for a cost-effective editor, because they can get so expensive, I go to Fiverr.
Yes.
I found a gal who is really good. She's very quick. She has a 5-day turnaround. And it's under around $75. But the service is quality. It's not, it's not like you get what you pay for. No, not at all. It's very cost effective for people who don't have a big budget to pay a big, an editor. I had a friend who paid thousands of dollars to an editor, and it did her little good. So I think, it puts things in perspective. I understand that editors want to get paid, but a lot of us are in budgets.
Yeah. It's a lot of work.
You can't afford that. Yes, exactly. And so Fiverr is a great way to find people to help you with, your writing needs, and whether it's promos or, cover design or editing or,
proofreading.
Really
Yeah. I had one do my commercial.
Yeah.
The first commercial, the guy, he did it for me. He was on Fiverr. I found him. And he did my first commercial for me. And also my ad for Amazon. I mean, and she was really reasonable. And, I mean, she did a great job.
Oh.
It really brought more sales in for Amazon. Because the whole thing about Amazon advertising, it really throws me off.
Yeah.
But I can give you her information. But, yeah, I was just, like, clueless when it comes to advertising in the market, Amazon marketplace.
Yes.
And she pushed it up to where it was just awesome.
Great. That's good to know because my friend is trying to get me to do that, and I'm like, well, I've tried it a few times, and I don't get any hits. You know, they hit me up for the money, but I don't get the hits in terms of sales, you know, to get to the final, you know, sales. But I noticed that I went to KDP, the Kindle, you know, publishing, and I noticed I'm selling higher in Australia right now. So I'm like, oh, interesting. So it's amazing. And India is a really hot market, believe it or not. So if you're looking to market.
Yes, they really
are. Market,
they really is.
Yeah. And I know there's certain standards, too, of what you want to put into, you know, your imagery. They don't like overtly sexual things. So it has to be kind of tasteful, I guess would be the best word to put it. So I guess that's some good tips for people who are looking to market. So I'm always trying to help. I have a group on on Instagram called Indie Fast Track. And anything I learn, I try to pass on to them. And so actually learned something about K Analytics the other day. Have you heard of that?
Yes.
So you can buy reports for the romance, specifically for the romance genre. I think the cost is $37, which I think is very, you know, very well placed. And it tells you the subgenres that aren't being utilized and would be good. So it kind of helps you market in advance and write in advance of what the markets are craving, you know. Interesting. So $37 to invest in a report, I think, is really helpful. So if you want that link, I can give that to you, too.
Okay, that would be great. But,
And
That's the biggest thing for me.
who's coming up on your podcast?
Which is weird. Actually, Jamaica.
Jamaica? Is that
it's funny. Yeah,
is that a
Jamaica is like, no, it's a country. It just is. A lot of my listeners are coming from there as well, not just the United States.
Oh.
You know, so it is weird because I'm kind of trending there and also Nigeria. So it's.
Well, because of your book,
hey,
I
don't mind.
And where you're.
Probably.
No.
Right. And yes, as a matter of fact, Shanghai Sheena got a lot from the UK. I mean, most of the people who bought is from the UK, who love Shanghai Sheena, my book about China. And so I try to do different as they kind of come to me, but I am just, I've always wanted to travel the world. So until I can get to do that, I'm writing about different countries where I would want to go. So Ireland, Scotland.
That's my bucket list. My grandmother is from Ireland, from County Kerry.
Oh, okay.
And, so I want to go back there and hang out and, you know, meet the Foleys, the Foley clan. And I'm sure she came over here when she was 16. And her aunt sponsored her in 1920 maybe, and then she left like 16 brothers and sisters behind, so I know there's a, you know, relatives back there, and so amazing history. And I wonder if you have a past life as in Nigeria or West Africa or Africa in general, because I just sense that you might have that
connection. I actually had one in Ireland. A lady came up to me in the store one day, and she told me that she saw me being a priestess. And I'm just like,
huh.
She's like, she goes, I'm not crazy.
Yeah.
I swear I'm not crazy. I'm like, but the way she described it, I'm like, wow. And it just, you know, it's like me with
resonated.
Red hair. And it's, you know, yeah, she was just, yeah, I'm just like, wow, Ireland for real? You know, but she said, yeah, you just have this aura of priestess around you. And I'm like, oh, okay. You know, she said that she could see me doing that. I'm like, wow, that's different. I mean,
I get there's
some cultures that I'm attracted
definitely
to.
Pagan.
And that's one of them.
Yeah.
I'm definitely,
yeah.
Ireland is one, Asia is another, Africa, of course, but my real name is Japanese. So I have, you know, I love everything Japanese as well. I have kimonos, and I've gone to the Japanese festival here in Atlanta because my name is actually Japanese. My dad was stationed in Okinawa when I was born, so he gave me that name.
Oh.
So, yeah, so it's like, yeah, Kimiko. That's what it is. So people, I automatically am drawn to Japan. I would love to go one day, so definitely. Yeah, between I definitely want to go to Europe, definitely want to go to Japan and Asia, all different parts of Asia, and Africa. So, yeah, mostly Egypt. I would like to go to see the pyramids.
Yeah, I think for me it's mostly Ireland, definitely Ireland, and in the British Isles, generally the whole Celtic thing. I have a very strong tie to, and British Columbia too. Big strong tie with that. So both my husband and I, we went there to visit. We've been to Victoria, British Columbia, beautiful place. We both felt like we'd lived there before, and we did actually. So through a past life, which was pretty cool, and a lot of detail, and it totally resonated. So it felt like I could live there. You know, that would be my that would be my first place to live if I could move from where I am in Oregon. I would live there because it's beautiful there.
Yeah.
It's just gorgeous and the kind of town I'd like to live in. So it's we're getting low on time. So why don't you tell everyone where they can find you on social media?
Okay. I have a website, which is mahoganysilverrain.net. Sorry, hold on.
It's okay.
Excuse me. Oh, often I use more.
You're talking about. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I also have a Facebook, Mahogany Silverine. On Facebook is mahogany.silverine. I have two Facebook pages, Mahogany's Place, which is my LLC, which I do use for publishing and promotion and video production. And I have Instagram. Let's see, that's Mahogany's Place on Instagram. Pinterest, again, / Mahogany Silverine, and Twitter, Mahogany Silver, and capital R at the end, as well as Amazon.
Well, I just want to, we've buzzed through a whole 60 minutes of just chatting, and I would love to come back on your show because I know the last time I came on we didn't have a lot of time, and definitely would love to be on your show again and chat
definitely
and talk and see what's going on in your world. And I love your commercials, they're so cool.
Thank you.
So
I made some new ones,
next
so.
Week Oh, I might have to consult you. Because you have that edge, that cool edge, which I like. So next week, I won't be having a show, but I thank you for joining me today. I hope you feel better. Recuperate, rest.
Yes.
I'll be back in 2 weeks, and I wish everyone to stay safe and be well. And thank you for joining us today. Thank you, Susan, for calling in, and Taryn for your questions. And I'll definitely be sharing those links with you like we talked about.
Okay, thank you.
So you guys all have a great, happy Easter, happy Passover to everybody. And thank you and take care.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.